I've been thinking a lot about the words of Jesus on the cross, "It is finished." As we enter Holy Week and we think about the passion of our Lord, I've often thought to myself that these were sort of words of, well, the last whimper of despair, or perhaps words of, well, the job is done. But I've been moved more and more in recent days to think about these words as words of faithful surrender. Surrender to God's work, and for Jesus, faithfulness in accepting the consequences of faithfulness to God's call. I believe it's a call that God gives to all of us to come and die. And perhaps it is because of this that Jesus struggled so much throughout his ministry. My mind goes back to Matthew when Jesus is in the wilderness and he is being tempted by the tempter. I often think of temptation as authentic when it is speaking to something that is greatly desired, something that we actually may be drawn towards, away from what we might otherwise do, something that attracts us, something that gives us escape. When I looked over the temptation words, the tempter seems to have a pattern. He says to Jesus, who has just gone through the exhilaration of his baptism and hearing the words of God's favor, and now he finds himself in this extraordinary experience of being even alienated, alone, isolated from that same God. And the tempter's words are, "If you are the Son of God," it is sort of raising the question. It is touching the doubt that must have been within Jesus. Jesus, who had just heard the words, "This is my Son, the one I love and in whom I am pleased." But now that's been replaced by the experience of doubt that perhaps Jesus had even before his baptism, but that Jesus struggled with throughout his ministry. And so the tempter says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be bread." There is a sense that Jesus had to struggle with the temptation to celebrity, the temptation to be liked, to be respected, to make change, to make things happen by pure dint of his ability to do the kinds of things that mystified people, that made them wonder. How often did Jesus hear people in the crowds asking, "Show us a sign. Do something that will make us wonder and be mystified. Give us bread. Cast out demons." The popularity that Jesus struggled with, and yet knowing that there was a different way that God had for him. I wonder how often we struggle with wanting to be a part of a faith that is a kind of popular, accepted social medium, where people always think of us as nice Christians, good Episcopalians. Someone once said to me, an Episcopalian, "I think the thing that frustrates me most about my faith is all this justice business, this inclusion business, this bothering with people outside the experience of the church. It makes my friends wonder about me, wonder about my faith." I suspect we all want to be and do those things that make us favorably acceptable, rather than to take the risk that God may be calling us to make. And our Lord Jesus struggled with these realities as well. There was another temptation. The temptation, if you are the Son of God, there it goes again. I know that you heard earlier, Jesus, that you were God's Son and God loved you. But if you really are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Jesus had a fear of death. It was quite evident in his ministry. How often did he agonize even before Gethsemane with the idea that to carry out the work that God had called him to do, to transform the systems of corrupt religion that had somehow moved away from the heart of God's call to be a people of faith that would love him and be a blessing to all people. But somehow it had all devolved to systems of religion and economy. So that Jesus realized that the more that he resisted and spoke out about the need for change and inclusion, the more he would be seen as dangerous and the more the possibility that that truth of God's reconciliation, God's broad mercy, would cause him his life. This is not just about the Jews. It's something in human nature. When we think about even modern history, think about those who have spoke a truth of justice and inclusion and what we do with them. Think of Gandhi, killed by one of his own because of the inclusion that he called beyond Hinduism and Buddhism and Islam. He called everyone together. Or think of Martin Luther King. His vision to speak of God's justice and reconciliation, that all persons, Christians, Jews, black and white, that in God's vision we are called to be one just community. We could go on to talk about others who have proclaimed such truth and God's peace. I think of Anwar Sadat. There's something that causes us to know at some point that if we stand for justice, even if it does not cause our physical death, we suffer the fear that we may die in the acceptance of others, or our character may be somehow diminished. So Jesus struggled with that fear that to do God's will, would it mean that he would have to die? And the tempter touches that fear within Jesus. I think of the words of Peter when Jesus tried to help them, his disciples, to understand that what he was doing in his ministry could mean that he would die. And Peter says, oh no, that's not possible. And Jesus does not say, get behind me, Peter. He says, get behind me, Satan. For he heard the tempter speaking to the fear within himself. And then the last temptation. If you will turn away from God's purpose and make me the focus of your worship, I will give you the kingdoms of the earth. I will make you king. And how often did Jesus have to continue to correct others who did not understand his kingship, who thought he wanted to be a political leader? But yet Jesus struggled with, is the way of God the way that I will be the sign and symbol of God's rule? Or should I use my power and my influence? Should I use that to become a political leader? I think of the Gospel of John, when after Jesus doing miraculous works and teachings, the people are so moved, they try to grab him and by force make him their rebel king. Jesus had to disappear from their midst and immediately go into a place of solitude to rectify even the voice and experience of temptation about how should he become what God would have him to be. Sometimes God's call upon our life, God's expectation for us to be an instrument of God's grace, can be in conflict with what we want to be or how we think we can most accomplish change or justice or peace. And yet there is no other way but God's way. And how often does the tempter touch and speak to us to become something slightly different, to go about making change and making justice in ways that lack the grace of God? In the book of Hebrews, we are told, we do not have a high priest who is not touched by the same temptations as we, and yet he did not sin. This was a lifelong struggle for Jesus, but on the cross, he finally comes to that place to say yes to God. It is finished. I trust. I give it to you. In our own lives, it may be a lifelong struggle, but like Jesus, we must recognize where there is doubt or where there is a temptation to being popular rather than faithful, and the things that we fear most, the places where our faith may lead us. But if, as our Lord has done, we continue with that struggle to find God's way, and to live into God's way, then we too will be able to know the fulfillment, the satisfaction, the peace that we too, in our time, may say one day, it is finished. And then perhaps, just perhaps, we may hear the words, well done, thy good and faithful servant.